Welcome to ABQ Connect, a full hour of special guests, hot topics, a Christian perspective on the news, and views of the day at 338-5790. So join us now for ABQ Connect.
Welcome in, everyone. It's KNKT with this Thursday edition. Certainly, the week is speeding along, and I think that's a good thing. Hopefully, you're getting a lot accomplished here on this short week after the nice long Memorial Day weekend. And we're almost at another weekend again, and a lot of activity, outdoor activity going on, of course, here in the yet to come summer months. Not quite officially summer, but it sure feels that way, doesn't it? And we'll be in the 90s, kind of a hazy 90 today. With that in mind, let's go down to Central Florida. Warner University President Dr. Greg Hall is joining us. Dr. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you, Peter. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, class is out at Warner University at this point?
They are. We have a summer session going on, but the biggest term will be beginning in August when the students return.
Yes, indeed. Do you do a lot of online studies as well there?
We do some online work, yes.
Very good. All right. So president of Warner University, you said, for what, about 20 years?
That's right, 20 years this December.
Okay, that's a Christian liberal arts university down in Central Florida. But you've also had quite extensive experience in public education as well. What, University of Pittsburgh is where you got your doctorate, and State University of New York?
Right.
And we are going to be looking at a brand new research study that has looked into what our kids or what our students are actually being taught, and particularly in Christian colleges even, right?
That's right. For me, Peter, the work began when I was doing some research and manuscript work on what students are facing in the secular public institutions as Christian young men and women, which has been a major concern to me, and I was delivering some messages around about that, talking to parents and students, and I had done a manuscript, and it was received by Tim Dudley from New Leaf Press, and he was prepared to publish it, but about that time, I got introduced with Ken Ham. And,
uh-huh.
Of course, Tim does all of Answers in Genesis publishing work. And so he suggested that Ken and I meet and talk about this because he knew that Ken had some acute interest in this as well. And as we did, he said to me, you know, I have not only concern about the secular institutions, Greg, but I have concern about what's being taught in Christian institutions. You know, he's an apologist and he gets around the world. And I knew that what he was talking about was real. It had been my experience, too, at times. So we decided we would do this study, particularly among Christian colleges, and we joined with Britt Beamer from America's Research Group. And did a study that was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah, again, the book that's come out that breaks down some of your results here and some of the very intriguing exams is called Already Compromised. Ken Ham, again, with you, Greg, have written this, and it's on Masterbooks, right? So let's take a look, because we all know, we go back to some history here with the Ivy League schools. They all started off as Christian institutions, didn't they? Or a lot of them, you know? So maybe relate a little bit of that history to kind of where we're trending to today.
Well, that's right. We decided to open the book with an introduction about the Ivy League schools, because I think a lot of people do know that these schools, Harvard going back to 1636 and all the rest, started as very devoted to Christian principles, training ministers and missionaries, and very committed to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know the story now, these institutions particularly are the bastions of liberalism in this nation. And we wanted to tell that story because we think there is a trend possible that we need to see and notice and deal with as believers, and what happened to them and what in the future might happen to Christian campuses if we are not careful.
So, you're seeing some leanings, obviously. How did you formulate the questions? And maybe give us a little example as we walk through this. And, you know, the I mean, this is not just a concern to parents or to students necessarily, but I think to all of us, because this is kind of where maybe our thoughts are going, our thinking is going.
It is where our thinking is going. And when we developed, when Ken and I sat down and developed the questions, we talked about developing them in a way that we hear the people in the churches and the students who are preparing to go to schools are asking them. We didn't want to ask them in terms of, well, what do academics think about this, and what are the words they use, and how do they go about questioning and answering questions like this. So we asked very fundamental, straightforward questions. We began with the question that I personally get asked, I think Ken does too, probably more than any other on any campus that I ever visit or any church I ever speak in. I get asked, do you believe the Bible is true?
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the center of this, Peter. It's it was what was at the center of what happened to the Ivy League schools. It's all about the authority of the Scripture and the utter truthfulness of the Scripture. That's the meaning of inerrancy and infallibility of the Scripture. And that's where we really found the trend that can get a little troubling. There is some good news in the survey. There's no doubt about that. But there is some troubling news as well.
Well, yeah, and when you look at the foundation of truth, that's where it's got to be. But in fact, if it isn't, then that's going to skew all the other answers that you were probably given, or you know, some of the responses, right?
It really can, absolutely.
It stems from that fact of God's Word. We can stand on that as inerrant truth.
Right. It's the foundation of who we are as believers in Christ. It's the foundation of the church. And
What were some of the responses and maybe some of the more surprising responses here?
Well, to be honest with you, some of the surprises in response to me was what the group agreed with. Now, we were talking to presidents of these institutions. We were talking to academic deans. We were talking with the chair of science departments and the chair of religion departments.
Well, I knew you'd get into the creation aspect a little bit.
Well, we certainly
did. With you and
did.
Ken, you know, sure.
Right. And where we found agreement, Peter, was on New Testament themes, the virgin birth of Christ, Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, belief in a literal heaven and hell, Christ's second coming, Christ's bodily resurrection. We found very substantial agreement on those. Then the tide began to change. And what we found in other questions was there was some real disagreement or real confusion, I guess you would say, on issues related to the Old Testament and particularly the issues related to the origin of life and whether or not people believe in the literal interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2.
Okay, sure, and that's the six-day creation, right?
Right.
Okay, well, and of course, so evolutionary thought obviously is creeping in to Christian colleges. Would you say that, or is it more just in the interpretation of those 6 days?
No, I would say evolutionary thought is a main issue that is happening in even Christian higher ed today.
Hmm.
It's all based on what we call the worldview of naturalism. And naturalism, in my view, Peter, is the religion of this nation these days, I'm sorry to say. And evolution is its primary article of faith.
Hmm.
And the compromise, the reason we use the word compromise, is that that's what we found in what some of these faculty are teaching and believing about the origin issue and about evolutionary theory, trying to combine thoughts about evolution, which they believe science has proven, which is, as you know, not a fact at all, with what the Scripture says. That's how it happened long ago that people began to say about Genesis 1 and 2, well, this is just an allegory. It's just a story. It wasn't intended to be literal historical truth. And that's where the problem begins, at the very foundation of the Scripture.
Sure. talking to Dr. Greg Hall here again, president of Warner University. You wrote this book with Ken Ham from Answers from Genesis. And Greg, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, I want you to describe a new, kind of an interesting new word called new speak.
Okay.
And then the way this term is used in universities these days. Coming right back with more here on 107.1 KNKT. It's about 12 after 1 already on ABQ Connect.
Come join us at Calvary Chapel, Rio Grande Valley with Pastor Ray Jaramillo. Our weekend services are Saturday nights at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service meets Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Check us out at ccrgv.com or call 864-6611. If you're looking for a church with verse-by-verse teaching of God's Word, contemporary worship, and people who love people, then Calvary Chapel, Rio Grande Valley is the place for you.
Join us Saturday, June 4th at 10:30 a.m. in Solomon's Porch at Calvary of Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna Northeast for Kids Calling Storytime, hosted by Parchment's Bookstore. Brian Trujillo will share the book, My Heart, Christ Home, retold for children. They'll learn how Jesus guides all of life in this retelling of the classic booklet by Robert Boyd Munger. There'll be a time of coloring after the story, Saturday morning, June 4th at 10:30 a.m. For information, call Parchment's, the bookstore, 344-2728.
What are you doing today that you would change if you knew this was the end of the play? What are you not doing today that you would do if you knew this was the final act? That's really the impact of the second coming, isn't it?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah as he concludes his message, What Jesus Said About His Return, next time on Turning Point.
Weekday mornings at 11 on 107.1 FM.
You're well connected for Christian Talk Radio on KNKT. Now, back to ABQ Connect.
Dr. Greg Hall joining us here, president of Warner University. Greg, we don't have a ton of time here on the program this afternoon, but we want to you tackle as much as we can of what's going on actually in Christian colleges and universities. And now you've been there at Warner for about 20 years. Has this been a slow kind of evolutionary, shall we say, process of the gravitation out of like the solid foundation of the Word? Sorry about that, Greg.
That's, every institution has a risk about all the time. It's the issue of the authority of Scripture is fundamental to who we are as human beings. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent said to the woman, are you sure that's what God said?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of thing we have to be on guard upon. Constantly, there has to be a constant vigilance for churches, for pastors, for parents, for institutions like ours to stand up for what we really believe about the truthfulness of the Word of God, and it's being compromised everywhere around us.
Yeah, and was that an example when you go back to the garden there of that new speak idea?
Yes.
That's where it comes from, doesn't it? I mean, the devil is full of new speak.
It is. That's
and
the word
twisting, it, yeah.
Word that came from George Orwell in the book 1984, in which characters who were in positions of power began using terms and phrases that sounded right to the people when, in fact, those people speaking were meaning something entirely different. And that is a big issue in this whole debate.
Sure. We have a whole lot of that going on these days, don't we? I mean,
it's
limitless out there with from media to blogs to wherever you go, right? We're just hemmed in by newspeak. Let's maybe hone in on a couple of more of your favorite questions here and the responses that you got.
Okay. Well, again, I think the questions that relate to the Bible about it being true, some of the things we heard about that were awfully important. The authority of Scripture meant, what inspiration and inerrancy and infallibility meant to these folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then how it related to their understanding of the Genesis account of history, the beginning of history and the origin of mankind. And the compromise is there as relates to the age of the universe, the age of the earth, relates to those who had to compromise with science and did so by telling everybody, well, here's how you do it. You teach that Genesis 1 and 2 are allegorical in nature and aren't to be taken as literal truth, and then we can accommodate what science is telling us about evolutionary theory, about the age of the universe, and about how this all came to be. A very serious mistake and a very open and blatant compromise of the truth of God's Word.
What is the best thing that we can do? Obviously, this is not just for students or parents or those attending university, although but they should be very concerned and asking the right questions. What's the best thing that we can do that this information is available right now?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Let me tell you, I think students and parents and the church and Christian educators and anybody like us should be troubled about all this. But I want to tell you what, Peter, we should also be excited. I think this is the greatest opportunity God has ever given us, and I think we can do something about it. And I think if I was talking with people who were concerned and wanted to do something about it, I would say, you need to start to pray about this in a major and profound way. The students in your churches, in your homes, in your families, you need to be praying for them every day about the influences they are facing in their lives, in their classrooms. There is a real sense in that the American classroom today, because of its ideologies that are so apart from God, has become the most dangerous place in America. We can change that. We have the power to change that. We have the truth on our side. I would say, number two, you've got to get educated on this. As parents or people interested in the church, you got to become an expert in these things. It is not that hard to do. You don't have to be a scientist. You can't ever be a scientist. I mean, they can go pretty deep on all of this. Nobody's ever expected to do that. But we can become educated on the issues of the ideologies today that are bringing our youth apart from the faith. And you got to learn to ask the deep questions. If I was talking to parents today, Peter, who are asking me what to do about college choice right now, I would say not only should you be going to the admissions offices of these institutions, but you need to look beyond the facade of the facilities and the football field and the housing amenities and everything else these colleges have to offer. And you need to go to the president, or you need to go to the academic dean and the chairs of these departments, and you need to specifically ask them, what do you believe about these things? What do you believe about the authority of God's Word? What do you believe about the literal interpretation of Genesis 1 and 2? What do you believe about evolutionary theory? Do you think that is true and right? And ask those deep questions. I think these people will answer.
Yeah, and it might not even be in a statement of faith. You really do have to go down the line and ask those tough questions of individuals, don't you?
You do.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Hall, thank you so much. Greg Hall again joining us. Again, the book written by Ken Ham and Greg Hall. It's brand new, just out. And I assume that now we do want people to pick up a copy of this book, but are some of those responses posted at the America Research Group website as well? ARG, is that possible for us to get a little bit of a sampling of that?
You will get that in the book, Peter.
Okay, real good.
You will get the sampling of the questions. And then also, AIG, Answers in Genesis, has put a website together called Creation Colleges. You can link it off the AIG website, and it'll take you through all the things you're talking about right now.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Dr. Hall. 107.1 KMKT, about 121 here with Peter Manson. We're right back with more on ABQ Connect Thursday.
We will worship outdoors if we have to, said the church. Xiao Wang Church in China could not find a place to meet. Every time the 1,000-member church found space to use, authorities turned them away. One of the largest house churches in Beijing was going to be homeless.
The Xiao Wang Church had refused to join China's official church and submit to state control. Now they were about to be forced onto the street and probably punished for worshiping publicly. They knew the authorities would punish their church, but they felt they had no choice. They wanted to worship God together. They sent an open letter around the world. They asked, pray for us in a loud voice, raise up hands, and pray fervently.
To learn how you can pray for Christians facing persecution in restricted nations, call 800-75-VOICE. Dial 875-VOICE to pray for and encourage members of our spiritual family. That's 875-VOICE. The Voice of the Martyrs is a Christian nonprofit organization.
A place to raise my family.
Room for my art studio.
An investment for my future.
The feeling you get from owning your own home is quite special because you've had to work hard to get there. Visiting with real estate agents, attending open houses, and entering the process of applying for a mortgage loan. When it comes to your mortgage loan, one thing is very clear. It's a whole lot easier with a lender who is on your side. My name is Elizabeth Orozco with Home Trust Mortgage, and I have access to many different loan products that can easily provide you with loan options that meet your specific needs. Whether it be selecting a loan that requires very little or no money down, you may be going for the lowest interest rate, and while interest rates are very important, we should always take in consideration the fees and closing costs that are associated with various products. You can call me at any time. I'd be happy to work with you and discuss a loan that meets your individual needs.
Call today, Elizabeth Orozco, 804-5037, NMLS license number 262-990.
You're well connected for Christian Talk Radio on KNKT. Now, back to ABQ Connect.
So, back on the college front here, we are chatting with Alex Chediak. Alex, you're from California Baptist College out there, Riverside, right?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, well, great. And Alex, you've written this really exhaustive book here about thriving at college and very unique approach. Talk a bit about yourself, first of all, a little bit about your background and how you know this is going to work with college students thriving at college.
Right. So my background is I'm an engineer, but by my own schooling, went to Alfred University in Western New York, got a bachelor's degree in engineering there, worked for 3 years in the Northeast for IBM in doing various kinds of engineering there with their manufacturing and development plants, making computer chips.
Uh-huh.
Then went to UC Berkeley for graduate school and did my graduate work in engineering. After that, I really want to teach. I had a burden for the classroom, want to interact with students. I began at Northwestern College in Minneapolis and now at California Baptist University in Riverside, California. So I have found both I wrote Thriving at College out of both my experience as a student as well as my experience as a professor interacting with students about 15 years after I was in school. And really I wrote it to help students transition well, to really launch into all that comes with adulthood as a Christian. You know, I think one of the things about college that's so amazing is it's this glorious transition stage between you enter in as in many ways a child because you're dependent on your parents, you've lived with your parents, but if you do it right, you graduate really ready to launch on your own, employment-wise, financially, able to support yourself, manage your own life, and really be a functional adult in society as well as in a local church. So that was really the burden. Yet for many people, college is not serving as a launching pad. I was concerned in part with Christians leaving the faith, that that's always an issue with college, where you have some that just for whatever reason fall away from the faith, that faith never really took root in them. You know, as 1 John 1:19 says, some go out from amongst us to prove that, and they thereby prove that they were never of us. That's one problem. The other problem is that some Christians just kind of coast through college and kind of barely skate by, just survive. It becomes a season of somewhat frivolous entertainment, recreation, amusement, and just kind of growing older, but not necessarily growing up. And that was a concern for me. You know, we have right now a third of all young men in the ages of 22 to 34 that still live with their parents. Many of them have not adjusted financially and are not able to live on their own. So that this whole phenomenon of delayed adolescence was a burden that I had, wanting to help young adults transition well. So professional development, academic development, spiritual development, really seeing all these aspects of college life under the lordship of Christ and as a response to our faith in Him, wanting to help college students see it that way.
Wow, and you mentioned something, delayed adolescence. I like that phrase, and it really is, it's part of that prep work, and we've had a Christian college consultant on here, a local gal that has been doing work even as early as like freshman in high school. You should be looking at this preparatory stage here, right? That's what college prep is all about.
Yes.
But then getting into college, you know, that's where that preparation actually takes root. And let's talk about the parent-child thing here just a bit, too, because that can either launch you off right, or it can do that delayed adolescence and they're back in with mom and dad within 3 months or something, you know?
Exactly. Well, I have a chapter in Thriving at College. Thriving at College has a chapter on this whole phenomena of parent-child relationship, how that changes over time.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the things that we see as professors and educators is that parents are doing more for students than a previous generation. Even 15 years ago, when I was a student, my parents weren't doing a lot of the things for me that I see parents doing for students nowadays. Things like filling out applications on their behalf, or telling them, even while they're at college, calling them and prioritizing what they should study on what different occasions. Study for your math test tonight, then do your English paper over the weekend, kind of helping them manage priorities, or perhaps even calling professors on behalf of their children, or calling employers on behalf of their children. And a lot of the students themselves don't see it as odd that their parents would be involved at that level. But what it actually does is it prevents the child from learning how to think critically and make decisions for themselves and really, really accept adulthood on their own.
Well, it's a great
go ahead.
Yeah, no. So again, it's important to cut the cord, but you've got to be ready to do that. So again, that takes prior preparation and that whole launching off aspect. Talk a bit, because we have some key components here that you talked about, the faith aspect, keeping your faith, but and then making right financial decisions along the way. And you say that you can make great friends, keep your faith, and get ready for the real world, is basically what you're saying here.
Yeah,
you can do that.
Three chapters on the importance of good relationships at college. Peers, relationships with your peers, some of whom become your lifelong friends. How to relate with professors in a way that's going to really be respectful and appropriate, and also help you tap into some mentors and create the kind of relationships that are going to be able to recommend you for employment down the road. Also, the relationship with the opposite sex and the whole dating scene and all the difficulties, but also the wonderful opportunities that come with that. So we have three chapters in Thriving at College on relationships. That's right.
Well, that's perfect. I tell you what, you've got so many great endorsements on this. I mean, really, scholars and educators and authors and great Christian thinkers all say you have got to get your college student this book. So great endorsements, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about this whole area of earlier here in the program this afternoon, we did talk about atheism, we talked about professors, we talked about just kind of the general subject matter that students are going to be taught. Why don't you talk a little bit about how we can make sure that our students are finding their own faith as they go along, and it's not just mom and dad's faith?
Yeah. One of the things to talk about is college is really a season where the young adult can come to own the faith for themselves. In many ways, we grow up borrowing the faith of our parents, and that's appropriate for a season. You know, our parents take us to church, our parents take us to a youth group, and help structure some of our spiritual disciplines early in life.
Sure.
You know, we have church on Sunday, you have perhaps a Wednesday night activity, and then, you know, parents hopefully are imparting to their teenagers the importance of reading the Bible on their own and praying on their own, and really, really coming to own their own relationship with God. Then when they go to college, they have to choose for themselves. Finding a good church is one of the most important things a college student can do, because that's going to give them nourishment and instruction, and also accountability and mentoring relationships. But also finding a good group of Christians on the campus is really crucial to living out their faith. You know, one of the things that secular colleges that they're going to experience is people saying to them things like Christianity is intolerant, or how can you believe the Bible when it's full of errors?
Oh, sure.
And it's important to have a group of friends that you go through that with, because there actually are good answers to those questions. There are, and one of the things I do in Chapter 1 of Thriving at College is I point out some references that where they can dig deeper on these individual questions.
Okay.
So that they have something that they can use to respond to their friends in a loving and gracious way. I think that's very important for them to realize that the Christian faith is rational and is based on historical facts. You know, God doesn't ask us to check our minds at the door when we embrace Christ as our Savior.
Yeah, Alex, let's talk about friends here a bit as well. So important to have key, good quality friendships in our life and great mentors, obviously. And, you know, Facebook has been around now long enough that, you've done some research on this, and actually you can correlate Facebook time with GPA average.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Right. The short word is this. Studies have shown that the more someone uses Facebook, they tend to have about a 0.5 to even a whole grade point average lower, depending on how much they use the product. And part of that really is it's very hard for students today, I think, to what one of the principles I talk about is working when it's time to work and playing when it's time to play. When you work on an academic subject, The concentration factor is so crucial. 1 hour of concentrated study time, you can get more done than you can if you spend 2 hours, but you're distracted the entire 2 hours.
Sure.
And what I see sometimes students do is they have Facebook open while they're studying, while their phone is on the desk and it's vibrating every 3 minutes with someone saying, hey, I'm going here, hey, I'm going there, Facebook updates, Twitter updates, text messages coming in. So they're bombarded with social media while they're working. I've even had students checking their phones while they're in my office getting help from me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that you find that in the classroom as well, right?
Yeah. I tell students,
texting and
cell phones to class. And if you do, I'm going to, mark you down if you do it. But yet they still will text messages right in front of me in class and not think anything of it. And they don't realize the fact that it's actually distracting them and other people who are not able to who are being distracted by their examples, basically. If you set an example for others that's not helpful, then you're being a detriment to the class.
Yeah, and again, living within the within the right structure here, you talk a lot about graduating in 4 years, that it's still possible, and you don't have to go berserk doing it.
Yeah, one of the concerning things we're seeing now is that about 30% of college students drop out after the first year, and roughly 50% actually don't graduate. So that number varies drastically depending on the college you go to. At some colleges, it's more like 80% graduate. At some colleges, it's more like 60% graduate.
Okay.
So it depends on the college itself. But, yeah, we've seen students fall out along the way. And one of the reasons is, I think, the inability to adjust to the academic demands of college. One of the things I tell students in college is, look, in high school, you were in class most of the time. And you did very little homework compared to how much time you spend in class. In college, it's just the opposite. You get your schedule that freshman year, and you're thinking, great, I've only got to go to class 16 hours a week. Well, actually, the professors are expecting you to do about 30 hours of work out of class. It's roughly a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 hours out of class for every 1 hour in class. So you show up on Monday for 50 minutes, and then you don't have that class again until Wednesday. But the professor's expecting you to have done stuff in between. And he may even test you on material that you were supposed to have read that he never talked about in class, but it was on the reading assignment. And see, that doesn't happen in high school, right? In high school, the only thing you get tested on is what the teacher talks about in class. In college, it's what the teacher talks about in class plus what they expected you to read outside of class.
Oh, sure.
So there's more emphasis on independent study, on responsibility out of class work. An inability to transition to that is what hurts people in terms of their graduation rate.
And you go into all of this, including choosing the right major. There are steps here that are really essential to do that.
Absolutely. I see some students rush into majors because of their expectations about what that career holds, and they haven't really thought about what skills and talents are going to be used in that major. Something like engineering, for example, where I teach and where I studied in, a lot of students will jump into it because they say, oh, it's a high-paying career, it's very stable work. And I say, hey, how have you done in your math classes? Oh, I don't like math at all. How about physics? No, I hate physics. I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that engineering actually requires a lot of math and physics? No, I didn't know that. So,
uh-huh.
So then all of a sudden you finish 1 year of college and you're not passing your classes, and you realize, hey, I just wasted a year of a lot of expensive tuition, and now I got to change my major.
Oh, no doubt about it. That's why Leland Ryken over there at Wheaton College says, don't leave home without this book, right?
Exactly.
And that's a key. Let's talk a little bit, because you do get into some financial mistakes that a lot of students make,
yes.
And maybe parents in lack of prep make for their students. Talk about those.
Yeah, financial mistakes. There are five mistakes that are unfortunately are very common for young adults to make in the college years. Number one is not paying their bills on time. Number two is maxing out a credit card or more than one credit card. Number three is not making full payments and not realizing that, you know, if you don't make the full payment, the balance goes into interest, and the interest rate is pretty high. Mm-hmm. Mistake number four is using payday loans. And number five is borrowing from credit cards. You know, I tell a story in Thriving at College of a friend of mine. It's a true story, who went into $15,000 of consumer debt in college. And what he was actually doing was he was making almost all of these mistakes simultaneously, yeah, as unfortunately about 15% of college students do. It's actually 75% of college students have done one or more of those five things I just mentioned in the last 6 months.
And again, it's living out of balance. That's part of it. And one of the other big things is, and you talk about this, are dating pitfalls, and then
yeah,
even idolizing the opposite sex, as you say.
Right, right. Sometimes people come to college and they immediately get into an exclusive relationship with some guy or girl, and it just goes too far too fast. What happens is each projects their idea of a perfect person onto whatever guy or girl they're dating. So let's suppose Sally meets Steve, and within a month she's really spending all her free time with Steve, and she just has this idea of a perfect guy, and she's basically imported this idea of the perfect guy onto Steve. She's fallen in love with an idea of Steve rather than Steve himself.
Yeah.
So not only does that produce or expose Sally and Steve to sexual temptation, but it also cuts off their opportunities to grow socially by getting to know other friends and by really getting to know themselves. Because when you're 18, 19 years old, you're still figuring out who you are as an adult for the most part. Most people that age are still figuring out who they are, what they like, what they want to do. And you want to be able to do that with some independence and not be totally tied down to one person. So what I would advocate more is get to know the people slowly and develop the relationships over time in a very organic fashion, through activities, through classes, through church activities, through clubs. Get to know them as a friend, build a solid friendship, and then from that friendship something more can develop. You know,
well, exactly.
I think it's really important to keep in mind that God made marriage ultimately to satisfy our desires for intimacy and not to try to get those benefits of intimacy prior to marriage.
Keep the main thing the main thing, always.
Right? The main thing, right. That way you only date somebody who can be a good mate, because you recognize that the purpose of one-on-one dating is to see if two people should eventually marry. Keep that as the overarching long-term goal of the relationship, to avoid running into problems and really ultimately using one another for emotional or physical satisfaction apart from that long-term view of marriage and commitment.
And again, just one of the many, many great areas that you cover here. This is so thorough, Alex. And again, I think you're young enough to relate to the college student, but yet you're in that professor seat and you see all this stuff happening on a daily basis. So I think
I really wanted to write a book that was comprehensive of the college experience. You know, I think there's so much to college that's interesting. Relationships, faith, academics, character development that happens in college. I have two chapters that talk about the importance of developing godly character and maturity and dependability as an employee. That's going to really hold you in good standing when you graduate, both as a Christian and as an employee and as a husband and a father. You know, because I think college, merely surviving college, is too low of a goal for Christians. We should hold out for Christians the goal of thriving at college and not just surviving the experience.
Well, that's right. And you go through these common mistakes here, like, refusing to grow up and, distorting dating and romance and, not being intentional.
Right.
That's a great one. So,
the whole area of friendship, I think it's easy to be passive in friendships, you know, to arrive at college and to just hang out with the people that's most convenient to hang out with.
Right.
Someone, and as opposed to thinking for yourself, hey, what kind of character qualities do I want in friends? You know, Proverbs 13:20 says, if you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. If you're a companion of fools, you'll suffer harm. And it's inescapable. You'll become however your friends are. The character of your friends will be the character that you develop individually.
Oh, sure. That was going on in high school, so shed that and come into college the right way, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Alex,
you had your parents to help you out with that, because you have some accountability and some oversight, and especially with your home church and your youth group and such like that.
Yeah.
College, you have to choose it all for yourself.
That's right. Parents and then other mentors along the way. Like, for example, I'm sure you're a mentor to a number of students as well. You know,
I try to be available to students. I try to tell students, look, I care about your life academically and personally, and I'm here for you while you're my student, and I'm here for you after you're my student. So I think that's the best way to impact students, is to help them to know that you care about their life. And that way they actually understand why you're, as a professor, requiring them to work hard. I tell them, look, I'm not making you work hard in this class because I have a power trip. I'm here to help you be successful and to grow in academically, to get your money's worth for why you came to college. But I also care about you personally. I think once students know that someone in a position of authority cares about them, it helps them to respond in a very positive way.
But I can tell that, too, that you do have a personal touch all the way through here. And thanks again for sharing with us and for sharing this great little book. Well, it's not really a little book either. It's a thorough examination of college and thriving at college. Alex Chidiak, thank you so much. Tyndale Publication. Hope folks pick this up. And, yeah, you're mentioning that it's available right now cheap.
It is. Actually, there's a sale going on right now on the Kindle. Amazon Kindle, they're selling it for $1.99 per copy on the Amazon Kindle.
Very cool. So just go to Amazon Kindle and you're there, huh?
Exactly. Or if you prefer to have a paperback, the paperback's only $10 on Amazon. It's also available at Barnes & Noble, local Christian bookstores. I have a website, alexchediak.com. That's alexchediak.com, where we have a group discount if you're interested in that.
Nice. All right. Alex, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Peter, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Stuart Shepherd. If you were born a boy, then you're a boy. Roger Greer tells us that's how a Texas court ruled in the case of a man who led another man to believe he was a woman.
Thomas Aragoos was a Wharton volunteer firefighter who died battling a fire just 2 months after separating from the person he married. He had learned that person had hidden the fact that he was born male. Austin Nimix with the Alliance Defense Fund says the ruling came in the estate proceedings of Aragoos in a district court in Wharton County.
We all know that a person's sex is a biological fact and not a state of mind.
He says altering one's outer appearance doesn't change your true gender.
This court was right to uphold marriage by sticking to the facts and concluding that a person cannot change their sex.
Simona Longoria is Aragoos' mother. She filed suit to have the marriage declared void. I'm Roger Greer.
It never got completely deleted. Democrats would love the broadcast regulation known as the Fairness Doctrine brought back in order to stifle conservative talk radio. Republican Representatives Fred Upton and Greg Walden are asking the FCC to once and for all remove the language from its book of regs since it's no longer applied. James Gattuso of the Heritage Foundation says it's also unconstitutional.
The government has no business telling news organizations what they can and cannot say.
Years ago, the idea was to ensure that broadcasters would cover both sides of an issue. In the age of smartphones, Gattuso says it's no longer needed.
Why would they object? What possible plans could they have for this in the future?
You can imagine a Christian station being forced to cover the other side of the life issue. Sunday school became Monday through Friday school. A tornado tore up Hackleburg, Alabama school building, so First Baptist Church opened its undamaged building for elementary and high school students to finish out the year. Pastor Steve Lawrence says it's the Christ-like thing to do.
God was, you know, he was here before the tornado, he was here during the tornado, he's here after the tornado.
The United Methodist Church in town also helped out. For Family News in Focus, I'm Stuart Shepherd.
Wars and rumors of wars. The Mideast is shaken up like never before. What does it mean to Israel, to the United States, to you? For answers, you'll want to hear from the experts. Don't miss the Epicenter Radio special from Jerusalem with Joel Rosenberg and Graham Lotz and Skip Heitzig, hosted by Janet Parshall. This radio special will take you to the epicenter of what's shaking the world and shaping the future. Don't miss the Epicenter Radio special.
Sunday afternoon at 3 on KNKT.
It's time for Elevate 2011. Vertical High School Ministry at Calvary of Albuquerque is heading to Lone Tree Lakeshore Camp at Elephant Butte for 4 days of kneeboarding, inner tubing, water skiing, beach volleyball, worship, and Bible study. Don't miss out on the fun from June 21st through the 24th. The total cost is $320 per person, which includes a $100 non-refundable deposit due with registration by June 8th. For more information, call Student Ministries office at 338-3699.
You're well connected for Christian Talk Radio on KNKT. Now, back to ABQ Connect.
It's KMKT 147 this afternoon, about 13 before 2 o'clock, and we are blessed here with the E-Theater Troupe, or a good portion of these guys are in the studio this afternoon. We've got Gray. Hello, Gray.
Hi.
And Alicia?
Hi.
Is that right?
It's
and
Alicia.
See, I've did the shuh thing in there.
Okay.
Sorry about that. And Rachel's here as well.
Hello.
And you guys are all part of the Encore Theater production. You've got your last weekend going up at Calvary Chapel Rio Rancho, right?
Correct.
That's right.
So how long is Encore Theater? Now, I met you guys back a couple of months ago at the homeschool convention, right?
Yes.
And did this is this a kind of an independent theater group? Did it stem from being homeschooled, or?
It was from... From my understanding, I came in a little bit later, but from my understanding, it started with a bunch of homeschooled students who were involved in a production, and they just kind of decided that they could do it by themselves. And so they a couple months later, they started auditioning, and they just put up the importance of being earnest, just completely student-run, and student-directed, student-produced everything. And
well, it's fantastic.
Well.
So really, it's the whole package here. You guys are involved in every aspect of the production. You
yes.
being the production manager, Rachel, that kind of that puts a lot on you, right?
In a certain way, it does. I get to see the stuff that goes on behind the sets that really the audience doesn't get to see. That there's the budgeting and facilities and all this other things like our marketing that I'm looking into right now.
Sure. So Encore Theater this weekend. What's the production? Talk a little bit about this Cheaper by the Dozen, Alicia.
Cheaper by the Dozen is going on right now at Calvary Rancho. It is about a family of 12 kids and how the relationship with their dad, how their dad is very, he wants things done a certain way, and he wants to save time and save energy and everything. And the oldest daughter, who I play, she's kind of the rebel of the family. She wants to go on dates and, you know, go to movies while her dad wants her to study math. And so it's just how their relationship towards the end of the play.
Okay. And of course, you're involved, one of the lead actors there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And Gray, how about you?
All right. I'm the stage manager for the production.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And so that's been really interesting. It's been, I've got to work backstage to really get closer than I've ever had in my limited experience with theater. This is the closest I've ever been to the really production side of it. Mm-hmm. And to see how it all comes together is just really inspiring and definitely a God thing.
Well, yeah, it's great. What a great learning experience. And obviously, you guys are open to to more folks partnering with you. You'd say in the student realm, you're looking for what? As young as maybe 5 years old all the way to, what, 25?
Yes.
In that range, yeah.
Okay,
very good. General guideline is... we're looking for people who have not yet graduated college.
Okay. Be a student, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. A student, but you could be off for the summer and still partner with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that folks know Cheaper by the Dozen is going on this weekend. That's at Calvary Chapel Rio Rancho, 7 o'clock Friday night, 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. But then you also are holding auditions here next month for your next production, right?
Yes, that would be Taming of the Shrew, which I'm directing. So.
Very good. Okay, Rachel, that's great. And again, they just go to the website, right?
Yes, that has all the information about what you'll need to audition.
Okay, and certainly about the production this weekend and upcoming, and
yes,
just a little
of
bit
course.
Of philosophy of what you guys are doing. You know, we think it's great that you're actively involved and just kind of doing the whole deal yourself. So mm-hmm. great leadership and all of those character qualities come into play here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really our mission to promote our society's view of student leadership and to really promote the opinion that people hold towards our ability to get things done and to really accomplish things. And so theater was one of those things that was just kind of there, and so we just went for it.
Yeah.
And it's really going along really well, and we've so far, just from our previous productions and with our current production, we're really fulfilling that mission of showing that we can lead and we can be responsible at a young age.
It's a great experience. I certainly encourage the folks to partner with you. Again, it's etheater.org. Just etheater.org. That's the website. And all the best to you guys. Break a leg for this weekend, all right?
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot. Cheaper by the Dozen again, Encore Theater, here on 107.1 KNKT. It's about 1:52. We're coming right back. We'll get our weekly update from Joy Junction. Jeremy Reynolds on the phone, on the way next here at KNKT.
In 1 Timothy 4, chapter 15, the Apostle Paul said,
"Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine."
In 1 Timothy 1:3, he also told Timothy,
"As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine."
No other doctrine. The live call-in show where you can direct your questions on doctrine, religion, and reasons for faith. Join Pastor Scott Tom Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on KNKT 107.1 FM. Every Saturday is Super Saturday at Putt-Putt Golf and Games. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., receive two games of Putt-Putt Golf, a game room fun cart, a small drink, your choice of chips or candy for only $10.95 per person. Putt-Putt Golf and Games, 5100 San Mateo Boulevard Northeast.
No matter who you are, you'll have some fun. It's for everyone at Putt-Putt Golf and Games.
Putt-Putt for the fun of it, Putt-Putt for the fun of it.
For People's Bank, here's Chet Evans.
With our Rate Watch program, we've helped more and more people lately to refi their mortgage to a low rate and save a small fortune in interest. Here's one of our terrific past clients. Mike, you had a unique situation.
Well, we had a few rental properties we really hoped to refinance. Many of the times we either purchased a property or refinanced one, the lender wasn't very helpful. But working with you guys was different.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So what was different about us?
You guys came up with a strategy to refinance some of the properties we didn't think would be candidates. Then you found a way to both eliminate the mortgage insurance and lower our interest rate. You handled it all, and the next thing we knew, you were calling to set up the closings.
Well, thanks, Mike, for your feedback. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I would encourage anyone looking to refinance or purchase a property to take advantage of these rates while they last.
Call Ian or Chet Evans at People's Bank today, 221-7777. When you need to refi your debt or buy a home, you're going to like the way they do business. 221-7777. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Calvary Chapel Southwest invites you to join them for worship, fellowship, and a Bible study from Pastor Ray Montoya every Sunday at 10 a.m. or during their midweek service. They're located at 1720 Bridge Southwest, and you can learn more about them when you visit calvarysouthwest.com or when you call 833-5441. You're always welcome at Calvary Chapel Southwest. Find out more at calvarysouthwest.com or call 833-5441.
You're well connected for Christian Talk Radio on KNKT. Now, back to ABQ Connect.
It's KNKT with Peter Manson. Probably noticed just a little clinginess out there with the higher humidity. Yes, but chance of showers still pretty slight tonight. Windy conditions, of course, 20 to 30, and could bring a shower or two into the metro. Anytime we have interesting weather, it certainly makes it difficult, more difficult, for those that are on the streets of Albuquerque and out there with the Joy Junction van, with the lunch wagon, bringing folks into the facility or just hanging out with them on the streets. Jeremy Reynolds, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful, Peter. How are you doing? It's good to be back in the Berkey.
Berkey time, that's right. So,
Berkey time.
You do get around and probably put on more miles than a lot of folks out there looking for those that are hungry, hurting, and in need of help.
We do indeed. Of course, Peter, last week we had a wonderful opportunity. Couldn't We were a little bit late, I think, hooking up with you. I had a wonderful opportunity to be at, I believe, the 98th annual convention in San Diego of the Association of Gospel Rescue Missions.
Right.
But Tony Campolo was one of the folks who we heard speak. Just did a wonderful, wonderful message, truly anointed. And then Tuesday, I all spent the day in L.A. With a homeless advocate friend of mine who goes around the country telling the story of homeless by video. Went on to visit the folks at the Long Beach Rescue Mission, just getting a little bit of inspiration and encouragement. And now back in Albuquerque, setting up for a networking event tonight at an event center on Montgomery.
Hey, talk a bit, because I know that you do discuss homelessness, obviously, with a number of folks around the country. How are we doing overall here in the Albuquerque area with the various agencies that address homeless needs?
I think it's pretty much over par. I think, God has been so good to us in our beautiful community here in Albuquerque. But talk with a number of other CEOs from around the U.S., and they're just all finding what we do. You know, decrease revenue stream, as a rule, an increase of need. And it's not people that want to give. It's the fact that they are more empathetic to the needs of the homeless, but they have less personal discretionary income.
Sure. So how are we addressing that? I mean, we just have to get the word out that we have to get people more actively involved. And are they giving of time more to make up for that at all?
They are giving more time. In fact, we had a situation a few weeks ago with a group of volunteers with Jonathan Matheny, our volunteer communicator, not communicator, coordinator.
There he is.
He can communicate too. Our coordinator communicates. He was speaking to a group of volunteers one weekend. They basically told him that. They said, you know, we didn't used to volunteer. We used to give monetarily. But he said our own personal financial economy has sort of gone down. So now we're more understanding of the needs of the homeless because we feel closer to being homeless. But all we can do at this point is volunteer. So we have to pray more, work harder, and be smarter, and let a dollar do the work of three, not just two anymore. Of course, we work very long hours. As I said, tonight we're going to be at Agave del Sol, a wonderful networking event with put on by the marketing group Exhibit, and we are going to be the beneficiaries of a silent auction between 5 and 8 tonight, plus we will have a booth at that networking event.
Well, you got to look at all the alternatives there, for sure, and find different ways of tapping into funds and just being diligent with those funds, and I know you are on a regular basis. So
We do indeed, Peter. In fact, you know, it's sort of funny because I'm sure people sometimes wonder what I do. Well, we pray, obviously. I do church sometimes also at Joy Junction, do a lot of networking and marketing, and then some of the writing I do, including most of the writing for my new book, which will be out in October of this year, is done like between 9 and midnight of each night, as well as updating our Facebook stream as well.
Sure, and those funds pay the coffers there as well at Joy Junction. And check things out online. It's joyjunction.org. We do want to give them a number to call as well if they see a homeless person or need to direct them the right way.
We do indeed. Just before we do that, Peter, we're very excited. A group in town has optimized their website and designed a brand new website for us, which should be online within a day at joyjunction.org. That's very, very cool. Plus, if people see homeless folks or people looking like you're in need of help, give us a call anytime, day or night, at 1-800-924-0569 and say you heard me on KNKT ABQ Connect with the Albuquerque Veteran Radio.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. It's out of hand, so we're going to wrap it up here. KNKT, thank you, Jeremy Reynolds. 107.1, we're right back with you tomorrow afternoon. It's Donuts for Everyone on ABQ Connect tomorrow. We'll tell you more at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon here at KNKT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management of KNKT Radio or Calvary of Albuquerque.